Good evening. Well, it looks like we got a new president of the United States. It just hasn't been called Donald Trump. The president of the United States is losing in several states now, and it looks like Pennsylvania is heading in the camp of Vice President Joe Biden. Richie Torres, a council person, he's become the congressman now from New York, heading off to Washington, and a trans march attacked by police yet again, another night of violence in the streets of New York. With these and other stories, I'm Paul DiRienzo with the news for Friday, November 6th. 2020. Former Vice President Joe Biden is closing in on the 270 electoral votes he needs to become the 46th president of the United States. Officials are counting mailed-in and provisional ballots, mostly from the Democratic stronghold of Philadelphia, as Biden pulled ahead by about 13,000 votes. On Tuesday night, President Trump held a better than half million vote lead in the Keystone State, only to see it whittled away as absentee voting skewed heavily Democratic. Biden has also overtaken Trump in the count by about 1,500 votes, turning blue, a state that hasn't voted for a Democrat since 1992. The vote is so close in the Peach State that officials have already announced a recount. In Arizona, Biden's lead stood at 41,000 votes, another perennially GOP state that flipped to the Democrats. The Trump campaign has already requested a recount in the Grand Canyon state. In Nevada, the Silver State, Biden continues to lead by about 20,000 votes. But the race for president of the world's most powerful country is coming down to Pennsylvania. With its 20 electoral votes, the only path to victory for Trump, a state he took in 2016 against Hillary Clinton. President Trump has repeatedly claimed fraud and initiated lawsuits to challenge the vote. There's been anger on social media, and Twitter has flagged many of Trump's posts as inaccurate as Facebook throttles down conspiracy web pages. Earlier today, Philadelphia police responded to a bomb threat in the Fashion District near the Pennsylvania Convention Center, where ballots are still being counted. No explosives were found. Last night, the Philadelphia police arrested two men on firearms charges on a tip that an armed group from out of state was headed to the city's vote counting center in a silver Hummer truck. The pair were from Virginia, and two firearms were recovered. Although news agencies are taking their time announcing a winner, waiting until nearly every ballot is counted, Democrats' concern has been transformed into hope. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was ecstatic as she announced her belief that Biden has it in the bag.
This morning, it is clear that the Biden-Harris ticket will win the White House. His election is historic, propelled by the biggest vote ever in the history of our country, 73.8 million and counting Americans, the most votes ever received by any presidential ticket in history. President-elect Biden has a strong mandate to lead, and it will have a strong Democratic House with him.
And that's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Both Vice President Biden and his running mate, Senator Kamala Harris, are expected to make an announcement tonight at prime time. Despite the apparent Biden win, Democrats took home some disappointments. They held on to the House, but lost a number of seats. It may not be until a Georgia runoff in January before Democrats know if they'll be able to unseat Senate leader Mitch McConnell. But especially in New York, progressives did rack notable wins. Jamal Bowman took a seat from veteran Elliot Engel in the Bronx, and Councilmember Richie Torres, also a Bronx native, sailed to victory. But Councilmember Torres is still making waves in the city, releasing a report on an NYPD official who was apparently linked to vicious racial slurs on a website frequented by cops known as Law Enforcement Rants. The officer, Deputy Inspector James Francis Cobell, using the avatar Clouseau, has an unusual job for someone accused of hatred of minorities. He's commanding officer of the NYPD's Office of Equal Employment Opportunity. Councilmember Richie Torres spoke with WBAI earlier today.
This particularly scandalous is Cobell is the Equal Employment Opportunity Office. So the most hateful person imaginable was appointed to combat hate within the NYPD. Right? It's a cruel irony that the Equal Employment Opportunity Commanding Officer has a virulent hatred for the very people whom he's charged with protecting from discrimination and harassment. And that's what makes it particularly galling. But you're right. There are hundreds of officers on law enforcement rants who are spewing hate, and there needs to be a broader investigation to uncover the identities of those officers. No question about it.
What brought this to your attention?
So we came to discover the message form known as Law Enforcement Rant. The council's chief investigator was browsing through the forum and came across Clouseau. And Clouseau was striking for two reasons. One, his comments were so striking that it caught our attention. But two, he revealed biographical information about himself, publicly available information. And so as we dig deeper, we came to realize that Clouseau was James Coble. And James Coble was the NYPD's point person on anti-discrimination, which came as a shock to us. It was a shocking irony.
Do you think this would put into question any work that the department's Equal Opportunity Commission might have done?
I think it deepens the credibility crisis of the NYPD. Right? It reflects complacency on the part of the leadership. It reflects the casual bigotry of the old boys club that often prevails at the NYPD. The NYPD knew of the existence of the Law Enforcement Rant and did nothing. Like, we did an investigation that the NYPD should have done on its own.
What was the reaction when you brought it to their attention?
The NYPD received the report on October 14th. It had 3 weeks not only to review the report, but to conduct its own investigation. And even the NYPD has acknowledged that the findings are too compelling to ignore. Mr. Coble has been put on modified assignment. As far as I'm concerned, there should be no place for bigotry in the New York City Police Department, much less in the Office of Equal Employment Opportunity. And the egregious nature of his misconduct calls for nothing less than termination. He should be terminated.
And what about all the other officers who turned a blind eye to this, many probably knowing who he was?
The firing of Coble should be the beginning. There needs to be an independent investigation into all the officers who have been spewing hate on Law Enforcement Rant on that public online message board. It could be done by the Attorney General. There's U.S. Attorney. But there needs to be an independent investigation. I have no confidence in the ability of the NYPD to investigate itself. I have no confidence in the ability of City Hall to investigate the NYPD. It needs to be independent of the mayor and the city.
On a lighter note, what's it like to be a newly minted member of the United States House of Representatives?
I've never felt as grateful and gratified in my life as I do now. You know, I never thought as a poor kid from the Bronx that I would become a United States congressman. I spent most of my life in poverty. I was raised by a single mother who had to raise three children on minimum wage. I grew up in conditions of mold and mildew, leaks and lead in public housing. And I never thought I would embark on a journey that would take me from public housing in the Bronx to the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. So I consider myself the happiest man alive.
What's it like to be the attention that you're going to get as an out gay man who's also a member of Congress who's speaking out? What's that going to be like?
I hope to be a voice for the LGBTQ community and LGBTQ people of color in Congress. You know, a wise person once said, if you do not have a seat at the table, then you're probably on the menu. And with elected officials like Mondaire, Jones, and myself, LGBTQ people of color are going to have a seat at one of the most powerful tables, the United States Congress. So I'm looking forward to causing good trouble.
In general, you're feeling about what's happening with the count right now?
You know, on the count, I am supremely confident that Joe Biden is going to be the next president of the United States. Biden has made real breakthroughs, turning Arizona into a blue state, turning Georgia into a blue state, reclaiming the Midwest. Not only did he reverse the losses of 2016, but he made historic gains in what have traditionally been strongholds for the Republican Party. Georgia's a purple state now. Might become as solidly blue a state as Virginia has become.
New York State City Council member Richie Torres, now a congressman. Last night, hundreds of New Yorkers marched through Lower Manhattan in a protest billed as a Black Trans Liberation March that was swarmed by police in another troubling incident between law enforcement and demonstrators.
You want to act like a man? You want to act like a man? Talk to me. What was the reason? What was the reason? That's what I up. You don't up.
And during one confrontation, an officer shoved New York City public advocate Jumaane Williams. In that incident that you just heard, if you see the video, you see basically a line of heavily uniformed police officers in riot gear, some sort of new modern-esque riot gear that they wear. It sort of looks like Spider-Man's outfit, confronting a group of angry protesters along a line. And as tempers, it was similar to the night before, as tempers reached a certain point, there was a shoving match, and then the police attacked. I see what seems to be a certain amount of provocation by police against people they know are angry and upset. Mayor Bill de Blasio addressed the issue at his news conference.
An extraordinary time in history, to say the least. There's such deep feeling. There's such concern. There's a lot of tension. Everyone wants to see what's going to happen with this vote count, make sure it's free and fair, and we can move forward. Vast majority of people protest peacefully, clearly. But what we have to do as a city and what the NYPD has to do is always de-escalate situations. That has to be the consistent approach. And that's what I expect. I'm not familiar with all the details of what happened last night. I will be talking it through with the police department leadership later and reviewing exactly what happened. But the crucial point here is that we obviously cannot allow violence. Let's be clear. Attacks on people, setting fires, attacks on officers, attacks on property. We just can't allow that, and we won't. But at the same time, the goal is always to de-escalate, and that's what is important to ensure in everything we do. So I have more to say as I review the specifics of last night.
And that's Mayor de Blasio. And to update a earlier story, former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Kamala Harris will be speaking at 8 p.m. tonight. And you're listening to the news on WBAI New York. I'm Paul DiRienzo. Despite the looming win by Joe Biden, the election was a disappointment for many Democrats, with the failure to take the Senate and losses in the House of Representatives. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez pushed back against fellow Democrats, blaming their losses on left-wing politicians and policies like the Green New Deal, saying that there were no compelling evidence for that line of attack. There are folks running around on TV, she tweeted, blaming progressivism for Dem underperformance. She said that she looked at those candidates who are blaming progressives and found that almost all had awful execution on digital during a pandemic. One Democrat told Fox News, "We should have won big, but you know, the defund the police issue, the Green New Deal, those issues killed our members. Having everybody walk the plank on qualified immunity with the cops, that just hurt a lot of members. No one's taking responsibility for it." Speaker Pelosi addressed the issue today.
"We won those seats in Trump districts. He wasn't on the ballot. He is now. I think that the what happened with the Democrats for Congress across the country helped contribute to the Biden success. So we're very proud of to be part of that mandate. Very proud of that. Would I rather have, while I have the utmost respect for the members whose districts were almost insurmountable with Trump on the ballot, I do believe that we'll be with Biden in the White House and a Democratic Congress, and hopefully a Democratic Senate, we'll see in January, we'll be able to do great things for the American people. As I said, we've lost some battles, but we won the war. We have the gavel. If we could win more, that would be good. We're still in the hunt on a number of seats right now. So we can have this conversation probably next week with some numbers. But for right now, safely, the gavel is in the hands of the Democrats. Safely, we have the prospect momentarily, if not happening while we're here, of President-elect Joe Biden, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris."
Speaker Nancy Pelosi. And Vanity Fair editor, Pacifica Radio commentator Andrew Coburn says Democrats should blame progressives, but the party's own pro-business mainstream.
"We may be seeing the back of Donald Trump. What is profoundly depressing is how badly the Democratic Party did overall in the elections, you know, down ballot, you know, starting with the Senate and, you know, going past the House to the state legislatures. And it was a truly, considering what's been going on for the last 4 years, it's a truly shocking performance. And, but it shouldn't be that surprising because, you know, the Democrats made a number of huge mistakes in that they poured money into really unwinnable races with bad candidates like Amy McGraw in Kentucky, who I think got something like astonishing, like $100 million, when she spent half the time saying that McConnell wasn't supporting Donald Trump enough. Can you believe it? $100 million for that, which is actually more money than they spent trying to hold on to state legislatures around the country. Right. I mean, that is shows that they should really be impeached for that, because that has horrifying consequences for the next 10 years. And we've been suffering for 10 years because the Republicans captured the state houses in 2010, which gave them the power to redistrict and bake in extreme gerrymandering around the country. And now they're going to do it again, all because of, I think, mismanagement by sort of bozos like Chuck Schumer, who insisted on giving people like Amy McGraw all that money and squelching progressive candidates wherever they could find them, like, the excellent Booker in Kentucky, to name but one. He might have stood a chance. There were a number of cases like that in Texas. They did the same. They imposed a fairly colorless person because she was a veteran, and that counts for so much with the Democratic leadership, but not really with Democratic voters.
Cuban and Venezuelan expats and their families in Miami are not going to vote for a Democrat that embraces Bernie Sanders, who went to Nicaragua.
It goes beyond a problem of just sort of bad, dumb political strategizing. I think it's where their hearts are. The leadership of the Democratic Party sort of really, really doesn't like the idea of universal health care, doesn't like the idea of rapprochement of supporting democracy in Central America, doesn't like the idea of taxing Wall Street. They're ideologically true to themselves, and hence we have these kind of disasters.
I thought the problem was, why didn't you more strongly present yourself to working class Americans as something other than a butt of a QAnon conspiracy?
In all this thing about sort of complaints that the Democrats talking about, people talking about defund the police, in the according to the New York Times Edison exit poll, among Democrats, racial inequality was their most important issue for 80%. If they hadn't said that, they would have, I think, among their base, among people of color, they probably would have lost votes. But you won't hear that from moderate Democrats. Very little self-reflection in that.
This temporary alliance between Democrats and progressives, was it going to survive this election very long?
Not if the Democrats' solution to the setbacks is to blame it on their base. It's not the first time I've said this and people have said this, but when the Republicans lose, they embrace their base more firmly. When the Democrats lose, they attack their base. Which do you think is the more profitable strategy?
Because they just don't believe in the politics of their base, the elites at the top of the party.
Exactly. And that's, been true for a very, very, very long time.
What brings them together?
Primal dread of the thought of another Trump term, which was, I agree with that. Who knows, if, supposing Sanders had got the nomination through sort of, mobilizing the base, I think the Democratic establishment would have turned on him and would have, would have voted, supported Trump.
And that is Vanity Fair editor, Pacifica Radio commentator Andrew Coburn. The Democrats have had some success in the Senate. It looks like they're going to have a victory in Arizona, as Mark Kelly is projected to win that Arizona Senate race, flipping a seat for the Democrats. And in Georgia, although it's not a clear win, two Georgia Senate races are expected to advance to a runoff, pushing Democrats' hope of a possible majority in the U.S. Senate back to January. Republican incumbent Senator David Perdue holds just under 50% of the vote in the state, closely trailed by Democratic challenger John Ossoff, following a surge of absentee ballots counted in the Metro, Atlanta, and Chatham County area. Only about 98,000 votes separate the two. The Associated Press hasn't officially called the race as having advanced to a recount, but elections have been particularly close in Georgia, with Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger saying Friday that the contest between President Trump and Democratic Joe Biden was heading towards a statewide recount. And
And that's some of the news for Friday, November 6, 2020. The news was produced with Linda Perry. Our engineer is Reggie Johnson from New York City. As you can hear from my home studio, I'm Paul DiRienzo for the WBAI News. Thanks for listening.